Radio Saturday Sport.
Preston May, welcome along to Saturday Sport Classified on a dreary Saturday evening. Hopefully you're listening to this indoors with a nice cup of tea. Thank you for joining me though, lovely to have you along. Coming up on the show, and football guru Tony Meppham could end up changing careers to become a weatherman, as unfortunately as he predicted. It's been a pretty grim one today. Lots of matches postponed, but we will be covering the games that made it through, along with the hockey with Sam, Knife and Fork and Spooner, and the rugby with a slightly damp Dave Christian. Also on the cards, Ailish Brideson and I will be previewing tomorrow morning's netball matches, nice and dry, the perks of an indoor sport. But without further ado, let's dive straight in to the results from today's football, rugby and hockey fixtures.
Manx Radio Sport.
So, starting today in rugby and the Manx Trophy, which was, there was a game last night between Vagabonds 1 and Douglas North. So, the final score was Vagabonds 1, 12, Douglas North 50. Today in the Manx Trophy, Ramsey 1, 54, Southern Nomads 7. And in the Manx Bowl, Emerging Nomads 24, Castletown 14. The Vagabonds ladies game versus Vagabonds 2, that has been postponed until the 17th of November. And then finally in the Manx Bowl, Western Vikings 7, Ramsey 2, 10. Looking at football now, and a lot of postponements in football. So the Ramsey versus Rushen game, that was postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. Douglas Old Boys versus St George's, Douglas Old Boys 2, St George's 2. St Mary's 1, Corinthians 3. Douglas Royal 2, Laxey 3, Peel 1, Moround 2, Douglas Athletic 4, St John's 2. In JCK Division 2, Ramsey Youth Centre 4, Castletown 1, Malou 1, Onken 2, Michael 3, Braddon 5. Douglas and District versus Paul Rose, that game was postponed, as was the Governor's Athletic versus Gyms game. And finally in JCK Division 2, Union Mills 3, Colby 1. In Combi 1, Rushen 5, Ramsey 3, the St George's versus Douglas Old Boys game, and the Laxey versus Douglas Royal, Moround versus Peel and St John's versus Douglas Athletic. All those games were unfortunately postponed due to waterlogged pitches. So on to Combination 2, and much of the same actually. Castletown versus Ramsey Youth Centre, Onken versus Malou, Braddon versus Michael and Jims versus Governors Athletics. All those matches have had to be postponed, but the Colby versus Union Mills match survived. It was Colby 1, Union Mills 5. In hockey, and starting in the men's prem, Backers B 1, Valkyries A 7, Saracens A 0, Backers A 5, Vikings A 3, Ramsey A 1, and the Vikings B versus Harlequins A score. We'll have that soon. That game was a late starter. Moving on to the women's prem, Valkyries B 2, Backers A 2, Vikings A 16, Harlequins 0, Ramsey 2, Castletown A 3, Saracens 0, Valkyries A 17. In the men's Division 1, Backers Colts 3, Saracens B 2, Vikings C 2, Castletown A 3, Castletown B 5, Backers C 0. And haven't got the score for the Ramsey B versus Valkyries B game yet. I think that was also a late starter. And then finally in the women's Division 1, we've got Backers C 0, Castletown B 1, Ramsey B 0, Backers B 5 and Vikings B 6, Vikings C 0. Oh, and we've also had a text in for one of the under 16 mixed matches, and that was Backers 1, Harlequins 9. So, starting in rugby today, and Dave was up at Morwick Park. He's on the line to tell us about that match. Have you managed to thaw out yet, Dave?
Thawed out and pretty much dried out now as well. Weather conditions weren't particularly brilliant at the Morwick Park. It was overcast for most of the game, and a couple of bursts of heavy rain came through, which was slightly disappointing, I would guess, for somebody who was stood out in the open. But the players just knuckled down and got on with it, and it didn't seem to affect the pace of the game that much at all. There were a few drop balls, but that's always going to be expected, and there was a particularly strong wind gusting down the pitch as well, which didn't really help. Early doors, it was Ramsey who got the game going. It was a Nomads mistake. They dropped the ball coming out of their own 22. Brandon Atchison scooped it up and he raced in 20 metres for the opening score. Dan Richmond converted that, but Nomads were back ahead within 10 minutes. They earned themselves a 5-metre scrummage, and scrum half Jake Meekin, crossed for Nomads. He sneaked down the blind side of the scrum, and a lovely scrum half try. Mark Young converted that, and that levelled the scores. As half-time closed in, though, Ramsey went ahead. Dan Richmond, who sneaked through for the try, the other scrum half getting one at the other end, he converted that as well. So the teams turn around with Ramsey 14-7 in front. In the second half, though, Ramsey had the wind, and they used that quite well. Tom Moffat kicking long for the corners to keep Nomads playing inside their own half. And by and large, it was only a matter of time before the scores started to come. It only took 4 minutes, and 4 minutes into the second half, it was Rory Nicholson who was bundled over by his forwards from close range. And 9 minutes in, it was then another try for Ramsey, this time David Keenan after Matt Meekin had made a break down the right wing. That gave Ramsey the try bonus point. Dan Richmond added one of those conversions, and that made it 26-7 with half an hour to play. And from that point onwards, it was pretty much one-way traffic. Nomads did break out a couple of times into the Ramsey half, but the tries just started to flow. Matthew Meekin got 2 in 2 minutes. Connor Goodall rounded the day off. He got a score at the last play of the game. And in between all that, Dan Richmond got his second of the match. And he steadily added conversions as well. And he finished with a 24-point personal tally. So a good day out for Dan Richmond. No real changes to the table. Douglas North's win last night saw them go 11 points clear at the top. Ramsey do move ahead of Vagabonds into third place. But by and large, that game, Douglas North against Douglas South, I think it's in 2 weeks' time. If Douglas North win that one with a bonus point, they won't be able to be caught, and they'll have done the job with a game in hand. So fair play to them. They've been going great this season, and I'm sure they'll be happy to be on top of the table, and they'll be happy with a little bit of silverware as well.
Any surprises in the Manx Bowl today, Dave?
Yeah, pretty much. Western Vikings, Ramsey B, that finished with a 10-7 win for Ramsey B. That's given them back-to-back victories. Vikings won the earlier meeting between the two at the Murrick Park, 26-7. So a little bit of a turnaround there for Ramsey. We had a try from Jared May, and that's his 2 in 2 weeks for him. And Jake Rich was making his senior debut, brother Dan playing in Ramsey's first team, younger brother Jake with the second team weighing in with a try. Kieran Stevens got one for Western Vikings with Ryan Burke adding in a conversion. They'll get a losing bonus point, but not quite enough on the day. Emerging Nomads Castletown, however, that wasn't too much of a surprise. Emerging Nomads are leading the table. Castletown, though, improved performance from them, 24-14 today. It was 53 at Paulson Park earlier on in the season. For Emerging Nomads, there were tries from Ian Hargreaves, Dan Gallagher, the skipper Mike Quayle, and one for Andy Lean, who got 2 last week as well, so he's in a little bit of form at the moment. Ari Brooks-Lund got 2 conversions. For Castletown, we've got a try, I think, from Furo Davies, I seem to see in my notes. Indeed it is, Furo Davies and Kyle Martin, who also scored for Douglas last night. So I know Kyle's dad, Peter, is the chairman down there at Castletown, so he's obviously drafted the young fella in for a little trot for Castletown this afternoon, and he picked up another try. That's 2 for him this weekend, 1 for Douglas last night, 1 for Castletown this afternoon, and he also kicked 2 conversions as well. So nice day out for the Martin family. Unfortunately though, Castletown losing 24-14.
Brilliant stuff, thank you very much, Dave Christian.
Manx Radio Saturday Sport.
And now I have Sam Spooner sat in front of me. He managed to crawl his way up the up to the studio. How are you feeling, Sam?
A bit stiff, a bit old. I'm still getting there.
And that was with a proper cool down, you tell me.
Tried.
Okay, so let's talk hockey. So in the men's prem, any surprising results today?
No real surprises. I'm surprised that Vikings A didn't score more past Ramsey A. Backers A didn't score more past Saracens A. But there is no real surprise in terms of results. If you start with Backers B, Valkyries A. I haven't got the Backers B goal scorer as yet. But the Valkyries A goal scorer is Robin Masson with 4. I think it's the first time he's scored a hat-trick this season. You normally bank on him to have one by now. Stephen Cottier, Greg Miller, Luis Novo-Smith, all with one goal each. Valkai Zé, you know, they're back as his closest challengers at the minute. And, yeah, it's a good result for Valkai Zé. It keeps him in pace with Backer Zé above him. Saracens A, Backer Zé. And I have to say, I watched the second half of this game, and Andy Jochen and Netza Saracens A made some absolutely stunning saves. I saw him save two, three, four in a row consistently the whole second half, and you could see Backer Zé getting a little bit frustrated with it in the end. Andy Whiting with a hat trick, Tony Bentley Roberts with one, and Alex Leach with one as well.
And then we have, well, I starred it as the game of the day to watch, Vikings A versus Ramsey A. Looked like it was a pretty cruisy day at the office for Vikings.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know when Nat Smith got back to the island or how long he's been back for, but since he's been back in that Ramsey A side, he's made a big difference to that side, especially going forward. And you can see that. He scored last week, he scored this week. Vikings A, they really need to rebuild, really needed a result here to rebuild after, you know, two disappointing results against Valkai Zé and Backer Zé. And they've done that now. They can build on that, get their head straight and move on for the rest of the season. Tim Henderson with two for Vikings A, and John Cooper and Nat Smith for Ramsey A.
And Vikings B taking no prisoners. They beat Harlequins A 9-0.
Yeah, and I think Harlequins will be a little bit disappointed with that. When you look at the standard of players that they've got and that they had in that Vikings B squad today, that does put them in the top four, guarantees them a top four finish. Andy Harding with two, Eddie Cayley with two, Nathan Evans with two, Tom Burrows with two, and John Verrill. And Tom Burrows nominated for Man of the Match.
Moving on to the Women's Prem, an exciting game between Valkyries B and Backers A that finished two apiece.
And I have to say, massive kudos to Valkyries B. I did say that, you know, you've got this coming. They need to get a point out of this and just show everybody else that's doubted them this season, which they have had doubters. I'm not one of them, I have to say. Just get that in there now.
Just put that in there, yeah, on the record.
They were 2-0 down, and they fought in the first half. They fought back in the second half to level the game at 2-2. They've shown that they can compete at this level. They've shown they can beat the likes of Backer Zé, who are in the top four at the minute. And, yeah, really well done to Valkyries B. Florence Barber and Becky Corkish on the score sheet for Valkyries B. And Backer Zé was Rose Watkins and seems to be on the score sheet every week, Sophie Howland.
She is on the score. I had Jane Howland message me. Jane has become my own personal hockey correspondent. Sorry I couldn't reply to you earlier, Jane. It was a bit of a rush. But, yeah, Sophie Howland, like, basically the Sophie Howland show. And then probably what you would expect in the top versus bottom match between Vikings A versus Harlequins. Vikings A won 16-0.
Yeah, 6-0 at half time. And, you know, Harlequins are still going, they're still pushing, you know, regardless of the results that go against them. And, you know, although it was a bit of a cricket score, you know, they need to hold their heads up and really look and be proud of themselves as well. They haven't stopped, they consistently get a team out every week as well. Goal scorers of Vikings A, Mia Greenwood with four. Sarah Blackman with three, Kim Carney with three, Daisy Loder with three, Sophie Hall with two, and Laura Atkinson with one.
And it looked like Ramsey held their own against Castletown A. Castletown A sat third in the table and Ramsey sat at sixth. And Castletown only won by one goal, 3-2.
Yeah, and it looks like Ramsey have got a little bit better this week. And you know what? They have improved from their early season form and it continues to get better. Joe Quine and Amy Swift on the score sheet for Ramsey. Castown A, Danny Kelly with two, and Hannah Leese, who I've had some really good reports about her today, and she ran the game for Castown A in the middle of the park there and just did not stop, a bit like a Duracell bunny.
And then finally in the Women's Prem, we've got Saracens 0, Valkyries A 17.
Yeah, 5-0 first half, 17-0 full-time score. Rachel Lucas with five, Imogen Manning with four, Tamsin Cleverly with two, Sienna Dunn with two, Danny Betteridge with one, and Jess Loder. So there's two Loder sisters today with three. So both of them scored hat-tricks.
Sister power, wow. Moving on to the men's Division 1, we've got Backers Colts 3, Saracens B 2. And I believe Saracens were a few players down during this game.
Yeah, so I believe they started with 8 and ended with 10. So that's a great, great performance for Saracens B. It just shows that, you know, if they can get a team down every week, that they would be fighting for that top four. Backers Colts goal scorers just reads like a list of players of old that have still got it. Tim Leeming, Peter Vernon Brown, and the slightly younger Andy Neal. And Saracens B was Steve Jackson. And I've heard really good reports, and forgive me for pronouncing his name wrong, James Caracas. A great goalkeeping performance from him today. Really held the Backers Colts team at bay.
And next up is your game, Vikings C2, Castletown A3.
It was really, really good game to be in.
You were a bit nervy about this yesterday.
I was. I thought we were going to get a thumping, but you know what? The Vikings see to turn around and punch above their weight week in, week out. 2-0 down and brought it back to 2-2 at half-time, complete reset at half-time. And Castanet did really, really well to get that early goal in the second half. But Vikings see just couldn't quite overcome the experience of Castanet's front three and their finishing skills, and the experience of their back three as well, back three or four. And it was just one of those things, the experience told Castanet, and they go up into second place.
Then we have also in men's Division 1, Castletown B5, Backers C0.
This one's a really good, really important game for me, really, because Adam Parker, who I was speaking to, who we played against last week, his son Joey McGee was on the sidelines watching the game, and I'm going to claim credit for this one, but I sat there badgering him, when are you going to start playing hockey? When are you going to play hockey with your dad? Well, this week, he stepped on the pitch for Castletown B, on his Manx hockey debut, scored and assisted his own dad in the goal as well. So big shout out to Joe McGee. Really happy for you, and I'm sure your dad's really proud of you as well. Joe Shuttleworth, Jeff Butler and Paul Harris on the score sheet there for Castletown B.
And then finally, we have Ramsey B 0, Valkyries B 7.
Yeah, and that's that was an expected result, really. That's... Valkyries B now still 4 points clear at the top of the table. They've increased their lead from 3 to 4 points at the top of the table now. And you've got to bank on them winning the league. And Ramsey B looks like they gave a really good account of themselves this week, because Valkyries B have had some big scores this year.
Moving on to women's Div 1 and all the BBCs, we've got Backers C 0, Castletown B 1.
Yeah, Katie Nicholson, from what I've heard, is a top corner screamer. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but well done, Katie Nicholson. Castletown B getting the win there, putting them on 8 points.
And we have top versus bottom. That was Ramsey B versus Backers B. Backers B won that 5-0.
Yeah, and that puts Backers B on 10 points. And Backers B goal scorers are Sam Franklin, Georgia Sullivan, Anne Harrison, Isabella Craig and Charlotte Fisher. Keeps it tight at the top of the table there, though.
And then finishing off, we've got interclub game Vikings B 6, Vikings C 0.
Yeah, and again, Vikings B, 10 points now, level with Backers B at the top of the table. Backers B, goal difference 23, Vikings women's B, 22. Neither team had a goalkeeper here today. They struggled to find a goalkeeper. And it wasn't until everybody realised that there was somebody at the pitch that could and would be willing to play in nets, but they had no goalkeeper's kit. So both teams played with 11 outfield players. Mm-hmm. And Vikings C, really good account of themselves. I expected more, to be fair, from Vikings B. I thought they might score more against their own C team, but like I said, Vikings C weren't going to let them have it easy. Jess Birch, Jenny Vernon-Brown, Ava Melnick and Millie Dougie with one goal, and Charlie Millwood with two.
And I've had a couple of texts in from the under-16s mixed, and so we had Backers 1, Harlequins 9, and Will Wiseman scored for Backers.
Yes, I've also had Vikings under-16s 8, Valkyries under-16s 0, Becca Kelly, Kira Griffiths, Jacob Harding, Kyle Gunion, Ben Dougal, Cameron Room, and his twin and Ben Dougal's twin brother Josh Dougal, all with their single goals.
Spot on. Well, very well done to everyone who was competing today in those treacherous conditions. And Sam Spooner, I think you've earned yourself a massage, an ice bath, I don't know, something.
All of it.
I'll just hear you tumbling down the stairs as you leave the studio.
It's all right, I'll shuffle down on my bum.
Thank you very much, Sam Spooner.
Manx Radio Saturday Sport.
On to football now. Tony Meppham, how are you doing? Your weather predictions were correct, unfortunately.
Well, they were, and from what I'm hearing, because you're a little bit out of it down at the bowl because you're undercover, and when it was absolutely lashing it down, you're on an Astro pitch and there's no sort of pitch getting cut up or whatever. But some of the reports from some of the games today, as the game progressed and the weather got worse, it turned into a bit of a lottery. But we've got some football played. We're into the thick of the winter now, so pitches are going to get wet. We've got rearranged fixtures coming up on the 28th of November and the 5th of December. So hopefully we'll get the bit of a backlog that we've got, and there isn't many out of the way, but it happens. And today we've had some really interesting games and twos and fros and an absolute shed load of red cards for some reason.
Oh wow, I wonder what.
I don't know,
maybe it was the weather.
We'll come to it. We had four in one game, but I think we've had near enough 10 red cards today, so it's proved costly.
The most you've ever heard of in a day?
On the amount of games that we've had, Rhiann, yes. Right. I totally agree, because, you know, when you've normally got 26 games on, you'll pick up a few red cards, but none of them were malicious from what I'm hearing. Mm. It was just like double bookings or whatever, misinterpretation of the rules where people are coming out of the box and handling it. So you just get on with it. But there's some great stories in the football there today, and it's nice to see.
Well, let's hear all about them. So we'll start in the Premier League, and we've got Douglas Old Boys 2, St George's 2.
Yeah, and it was 1-1 at half-time, 2-2 at the end. Chris Coxon with a goal for Old Boys. Martin King, my old mate there, he got one as well. Old Boys have this habit against St George's, as I've touched on before. They just seem to be able to lift themselves against one of the best teams on the island, and still are. But Chris Bass still got it there. He scored one. Joey Morling got the other one. But this is one of the games. Terrible conditions. Blackberry Lane does struggle a little bit because it's on the slope. They had the pitch inspected just before kickoff, and it was past fit. One area was a little bit wet, but you get on with it. Mm. You know, sort of 30 years ago, you would have played in whatever. Now they're a little bit more protective, not overprotective, but let's face it, the pitches that they're playing on are class. Mm. So, you know, I accept. Groundsman put acres of time in, and if it's not looking good, don't play it.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Moving on to the game that you were at, St Mary's versus Corinthians. St Mary's 1, Corinthians 3.
Really enjoyed this one because when the game kicked off, I thought St Mary's looked actually the better of the two teams. And Steve Priestnell had a chance, great save by Matthew Quirk, and a couple of other chances. They always looked dangerous in the first half when the ball was crossed in, because they're very good in the air. Tom Weir, Frank Jones, Jack McVeigh can all come up with something. But, you know, no doubt about it, the first goal was absolutely superb. It was Luke Murray who got it, and then Dan Simpson got the second, and Steve Whitley with the third. Steve Whitley missed a penalty as well, as I might describe it.
I did hear, yes.
It's still catching snow.
Brutal.
I don't know what happened there. Sorry, Steve. But, you know, Corinthians were down to 10 for a good chunk of the second half. Danny Gerrard with his second bookable offence. Corinthians manager got sent off towards the end. And it's just one of them. You know, I spoke to the referee. It's just a passionate manager. He swore. And the rules are quite clear. You can't swear like that. And Blaine got a red card. But he'll get over it. But, you know, St Mary's, when they got it back to 1-1, and Steve Priestnell, it was unfortunate for Chrissy Cannell. Chrissy slipped, and Steve Priestnell got the ball, and you just knew it was going to go in, because Priestnell has that there. He took it well to the keeper's left-hand side, and 1-1, and it gives St Mary's a massive lift. And down to 10, Corinthians found it hard what to do, but Blaine Slattery and the coaching staff there got it absolutely spot on. Took Sean Doyle off and put on Tom Callister. Tom worked tirelessly in that midfield with Ronan McDonald, who was like a little engine today with Danny Gerrard. But I just thought defensively they looked so compact, Corinthians. You know, Ryan Burns, immense display by him, Cameron Lee as well. And Phil Kelly on the right-hand side, he's come in, and I can't see him having that spot taken away from him because he's played so well. But Steve Whitley was always a problem. It could have been, I think, honest opinion, at half-time, it could have been quite easily 4-0 to Corinthians, because, you know, Sean Doyle had a couple of good chances. Kirill Velev pulled off two or three really good saves. Matthew Quirk, a couple of good saves, but really didn't have a lot to do because the defence was so solid. And it was a great display, I thought, of football by both teams. I thought St Mary's are still a force to be reckoned with, no doubt about it. But Corinthians are looking strong. And if they can keep their heads and play like they're being asked to play, the discipline, the effort and everything else, then I think it could be a good season for Corinthians. But there's a long way to go.
If those teams can play as well as you've described on a day like today, then surely on a Bluebird day, it'll be next level.
Well, he will. But, you know, the bowl, people always say the bowl plays better when it's really wet. Mm. And we had two or three really heavy showers down there. Huge crowd. What an advertisement.
Brilliant.
For Manx football. A lot of neutrals because there's a lot of games off. They came down to watch two of the top sides. And to me, they were entertained. They can't argue for the pound entrance in. And I really enjoyed it. Obviously, I'm a Corinthians person and the result. But I look at the display. Mm. And if Corinthians had got beat and that was the same style of game, I would have said, I'll have it, because the football was close. It wasn't sort of big balls over the top. It was clever, and there was a lot of talent on show there from both teams.
Well, it's fantastic to hear that people came out in the rain to support. That's fantastic. It looks like Douglas Royal managed to hold their own against Laxey. Douglas Royal 2, Laxey 3.
Yeah, and this is the game with a bit of a story, and I've got a bit of a match report in here, but I'm going to be clever on it because, you know, there's bits of information in there. Right, let's have a look at this one here first. Let's have a look at the goal scorers. Douglas Royal... Dominic McCarry-Brennan, who I rate highly. He's a young lad, he's a little whippet, there's not much meat on him, but my word, he's got some skill there, and he's a centre forward. Clubs are always looking for centre forwards. Michael Fitzmaurice has got a real good player there. Taylor Andrews as well is a cracking player. He got one, and it was 3-2 at one stage. Michael Fernandez got a goal from the penalty spot, and this was the first turn of the game when Harry Horbury got sent off. It was two bookings. First one, I think he came out of the box, possibly. I'm not 100% sure. And the second one for whatever. So he got sent off, so they lost their goalkeeper. But Michael got the penalty. Ryan Gartland got a goal. Jordan Cooper got one. I'm still looking for two goal scorers, if you could, please, because there's two late goals. Now, there was four red cards in a game with one bad tackle. This is the view of this person. Two players and a spectator for Royals and a Laxey player for a terrible challenge late on. We had to play approximately 65 to 70 minutes with 10 players and then went down to 9 and conceded 3 goals in the last 10 minutes. And that was from Douglas Royal. But by all accounts, a great game. You know, Douglas Royal battled hard, but Laxey's more experience shone through. And the problem is now for Douglas Royal is they've got two important games coming up against Moran and St John's, and they're going to be missing, you know, quality players. So that might just, you know, put them under a little bit of pressure at the bottom of the table.
And speaking of Moran, they beat Peel, even though they are below them in the league table. Moran 2, Peel 1.
Yeah, whatever. I know there's a Amelia on in Crosby tonight. Anyone who's flying past, nip in and get some spuds or whatever. But at the moment, Moran are unbelievable.
Flying high.
I watched them last week. They've drawn with Rushen. They beat St George's. Now they've beaten mighty Peel. So there's something, whatever they've got in the beer at the Crosby, then I would
working.
Say we'll all go there, because they took the lead early on in the 18th minute. Matthew Macquarie with the penalties. Well done, Matthew, holding your nerve. And then on 64 minutes, Cameron Avery made it pretty well secure for them to make it 2-0. But Billy Kenyuk got one on 77 minutes, so it was quite a nervous 13 minutes towards the end. But Peel couldn't get that second goal. Moran held their nerve. And, you know, Moran, to me now, those 3 points will probably make them safe. There's still a bit to go, but they're bonus points, they're big points, and they've got them, and well done to everyone at Moran.
And we've just had a text in going back to the Douglas Royal game saying Hornbury got his second yellow for coming off his line, according to Laxey Twitter.
Okay.
And then the final game in the Prem, Douglas Athletic 4, St John's 2.
Yeah, what about this one in as well? And thanks for the report on this. It's really good when you get the true information. Really good fight between two sides who are battling for the points. They're battling for Premiership survival. If we can just top up the goal scorers for Athletic, Martin Cowan got one, Reece Lake got one, but I'm still missing two on that one. For St John's, Paul Whitehead and Sam Beatty were the goal scorers. But Stuart Neen, a referee, and he's a top referee. There was quite a heated situation in the game, and Stuart is just getting applauded for the way he handled it. I don't know what's happened, but there were two red cards, one for Athletic, one for St John's. Kieran Court for St John's, Nick Ford for Douglas Athletic. But, you know, that Stuart's intervention, whatever he's done, has stopped a big problem. So well done to Athletic for winning. I know I was hard on them at lunchtime. I was hard on them last week, but they needed it, because that wasn't a display from an Athletic side that they did last week. But they've got it right today. It gives them hope. They've still got games to come up where they can get some points. But for St John's, it's looking troublesome for them, because they've still only got those 5 points and they've played maybe 14 games now, 15 games. It's a problem.
Well, you should badmouth clubs more often if it results the way it has done in Douglas Athletic's favour today. Moving on to JCK Division 2, and we've got Ramsey Youth Centre 4, Castletown 1.
Yeah, good game this one. I don't know how the scoring went, but Alex Crawley got the goal for Castletown. But for Ramsey Youth Centre, under a bit of pressure with their recent results, but they got it right today. Jamie Brew with two goals, Jason Crane on the score sheet again, and Jack Gilbert. Now, I've just seen, well, I saw a picture during the game I was at of Jack Gilbert, who was driven to Ramsey Cottage Hospital because he had a real nasty gash above his left
eye.
Oh,
yes, I heard you saying.
Not a problem. It was just one of those. Two guys went up for the ball and they clashed heads. I'm glad to say that he's got a black eye and a pretty nasty gash on his eye. No stitches required. He's in good fettle. There's no problem. If his dad had banged his head, I wouldn't have worried about his dad because there's not a lot up there. But Jack's a sensible lad. So, you know, speedy recovery, Jack. He'll be back out, I'm sure. He might not be able to play next week or bandage it up. But for Ramsey Youth Centre, the important thing for them was 3 points.
Good game for Onchan. Onchan beat Maloo 2-1.
This is a terrific result, and another match report in on this one. Very tough game for Maloo today. Probably the toughest team we have played after Union Mills. Game started and we went into the game with a full team. Swanee, Noxie, Paddy Cooper back. Paddy on the bench. Played the first half against the wind. And after hitting the post within the first few minutes with Swanee, Onchan scored with Joe Rees netting a scrappy ball from across. Once again, we tried to push, but Onchan broke on the counter. And the evergreen, Paul Whitley, and he's a little bit mature in age, but my word, he can still finish. Took the goal very well by putting the ball under the keeper's legs. Nothing much in the first half. Went into the second half, hoping to change the trend. Across from Jamie Skillen, then pulled a goal back with Paddy Cooper scoring. We had loads of chances like Onchan and just couldn't convert it. A talking point is a penalty given by the linesman, but overruled by the referee. Credit where credit is due. Onchan played a very clever game. Their defence was brilliant. Big shout out once again to their keeper, saving a few certain goals. Well-deserved win for Onchan. Shame really, but we need to dust this off and go again. What a report that is, and an open report from a team that's just been beaten, who are challenging to get promoted.
That's fantastic. The right way to lose, isn't it?
Fantastic honesty. Well done, Dario. Everyone knows Dario. Great report. Onchan, 3 points. Maloo, unfortunately, didn't get any points, so they stay second.
And wonderfully read, I might say. Michael, 3. Braddon, 5. And we got a text through saying this was a very decent game.
It was, and I've got here that it was 3-2 to Michael at one stage. Mm-hmm. I know it was 3-3, and I think there was about 2 minutes to go. And Braddon got two goals. Jeff Murphy again, another evergreen. Jeff's been a Masters player for 7 years, so Jeff is 42, 43, sorry, Jeff. So he's got three. Nick Harvey got one. Lee Cura got the other one. Fraser Campbell got one for Michael. Tony Pinto got two. And the notes we had, decent game.
The Douglas and District Paul Rose game, that was postponed, as was the Governor's Athletic versus Gyms game. So finally, in Division 2, we've got Union Mills 3, Colby 1.
Yeah, and a great result under sad circumstances. Ryan Kelly with one. Luke Booth got the second goal. Jordan Crawley with the third. Steve Collister got a goal for Colby. So that's a great result for Union Mills. Colby will be happy enough. I don't think 3-1's a beating. But just in case people aren't aware, Vince Watkins, the chairman of Union Mills, unfortunately died this week. And Vince is a mainstay, or was a mainstay, of Union Mills. Incredible guy who's done so much hard work to put the club where it is, to where it's going and everything else. And I'll miss his smiley face and his beard and everything else, because he had a wicked beard on him. But what a pure gentleman and a pure football supporter, who always looked at the games fairly, even though he was Union Mills chairman. And he will be sadly missed. He really will be, because he is just such a nice man. And my thoughts, and the Alaman FA's thoughts, and I'm sure the Alaman football fraternity send their regards to Union Mills Football Club and to Vince's family.
Very well said. Moving on to Combi 1, and there was only one game in this league that managed to go ahead, and that was between Rushen and Ramsey. Rushen came out on top 5-3.
Yeah, and it's an important game as well for Rushen, because Rushen are challenging towards the top. But Aaron Hawley, I'm sort of picking on the older people today, but, you know, Aaron's a Masters
player. You always pick on the older people.
I do, because they deserve credit. Because
That's true.
I remember when I was 35, and that's a long, long time ago, I wouldn't be playing senior football, that's for sure. But Aaron today, rolling back the years, he got three. Jamie Callender got one. and Kyle Lund got the other one. 3-3, I think it was at half time, 5-3 at the end.
And in Combi 2, again, just one match managed to go ahead, and that was between Colby and Union Mills. Colby 1, Union Mills 5.
Yeah, and I've got, I think in now, I have, yes. I've got Union Mills goal scorers in. They won 5-1. I've got Colby's, I've got here, a 6-inch Thunderbolt. Well, 6 inches?
Yes.
Was it a tap-in?
Well, so the chap rang me and said that exact phrase, a Thunderbolt. Said it was unreal.
Well, 6 inches is not very far away, is it?
I didn't understand. I was just like, oh, great.
It could be 6 yards. I don't know. But Nigel, he's another. He's a Masters player. Nigel's 50. He's got to be 50. He's got to be. And he's got a ponytail. Wicked. But for Union Mills goal scorers, Jackson Gatt got one. Owen Shimon got a goal. Henry Smith, Bailey Ashton, and Dylan Campbell got the other one. And Foxdale's just put a comment in. Just waiting to read that. No, it's just regarding their under 18s. It's okay.
Okay. All good?
Yeah, good day. Good day. Good day with the weather. We were going to do the FA Cup draw, but we haven't got quite right with the sponsors at the moment because the sponsors are in UK.
Right.
We want to give them maximum publicity. ECAP FA Cup is a huge competition. We've got news coming out next week. We've got a sponsor, I'm delighted, for the Railway Cup, so we'll bring you all that next week. And also on Monday, the announcement of the Isle of Man national side squad when they play FC Isle of Man on the 16th of December.
That'll be exciting.
We're going to start pushing that game because it's all for charity. Mm-hmm. It's all for Craig's heart. And I know everyone has started to talk about it, looking forward to it. First time it's ever happened. And I'm delighted. I spoke with him this morning. Kevin Manning has been invited as the guest of honour. Now, Kevin, probably a new name to you, but he managed the Ireland team with distinction for 15 years. Kev's not been so well of late, but he still goes out and watches the games and stuff like that. And he looked in good form this morning. And I know the family are delighted that Kev's going to be there. And it's going to be about him. It's going to be about the football games. And also, it's coming up to Christmas time, so hopefully we'll get a good crowd.
Yeah, I think that'll be a lovely setup. Do you want to drop Kevin's age into the mix?
Actually, I know Kev's age, and he won't mind because he might not be listening. Kev's 67.
Oh, okay. And on that note, thank you very much. How old am I? A lot younger than 67. Thank you very much, Tony Meppen.
Manx Radio Saturday Sports.
And just before we move on to netball, I have had a text in for the mixed under-16s hockey. And that result was Harlequins 9, Backers 1. And the Harlequins scorers were Alfie Swales 4, Corey Corkill 3, and Jasper Davies 2. So very well done to them. And thank you to whoever texted in. I really appreciate it. We're talking netball next.
We like sports and we don't care who knows.
Football.
Tennis.
Hockey.
Netball. And I had the pleasure of speaking to Manx Radio's netball correspondent Ailish Brideson ahead of tomorrow's Newfield Netball League. Starting in the Prem, we've got Simcox Red versus Thompson Travel 1, Route 1 Connections versus Balasala Bravo, Brown Crane Tomb Raiders versus Simcox Blue, that's you, Manx Gems Rubies versus Simcox Gold, and Marbury Misfits A versus Balasala Alpha. So there's a scutch. I would say those three in the middle are probably the most exciting games of the day. Let's talk about Route 1 Connections versus Balasala Bravo first. What are we expecting from that, do you reckon?
Well, Connections, like, week on week, are getting consistently stronger, and it's very clear that they've kind of settled and they've got their set combinations and they know how to mix it up if things aren't working. So they've become quite a dominant side to play against. Mm-hmm. So I'd expect them, coming off a couple of wins now, to be coming in quite strong. But I think, you know, equally paired against Balasala Bravo, you have the likes of Ashley Hall in that team, who's a very strong player, obviously plays in the island. Mm-hmm. Now, depending on where she plays, so if that's shooter, it's likely to be against Kat Keeling. So that's like island attack versus island defence match up against each other, which would be quite good to watch.
And Ash and Kat actually shoot together from time to time, so that would be interesting to see.
So I think there's some quite nice pairings. Route 1 obviously have some younger legs in their team, so they've got Eliana and Cassidy, mm-hmm. who are great defence, who've also kind of been, like, Cassie's been playing out in the midcourt and Eliana's been playing in the shooting circle sometimes as well, so very versatile amongst them. But in Ballas Ala Brava, you've just got consistency. So because, you know, they've given each team very, very strong players in each of the thirds, having that level of strength and stability and a calm voice on court and somebody that's kind of steady all the time, it does make a lot of difference. So if things are going wrong and you've got, you know, a couple of people that can strip it back to basics, that's what you need sometimes to kind of keep your head, keep you cool and go on. So I'd like to say it's going to be a close game, and it would be nice to see Ballas Ala Brava kind of pull a win out the bag, but based on the games at the minute, I'd probably say that Connections wouldn't want to put a loss in the run of wins at the minute.
Yeah, absolutely. Who would you put your money on?
Connections.
Okay, I'm going to go Ballas Ala on this one. In terms of Simcox Red and Thompson Travel One, just to briefly touch on that, I would put money on Simcox Red.
As would I.
And looking at Tomb Raiders versus Simcox Blue, how are you feeling about your game?
Well, it's always really hard because I can never really accurately tell you how Blues are going to play. It really changes week on week.
Is that due to lineup?
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, even though the team is filled with, like, super strong people, you know, like Fiona Clark-Wilson, a very, very strong player, Bailey Mitchell, another one in the Ireland setup, Emma Wilcox, a really great goalkeeper, you know, you've got all of these strong players, and it doesn't matter really whether you play the same combination. As a team, we never seem to be playing, you know, consistently. Doesn't necessarily mean we play badly. It's just, you know, the style of play that we put out each week just tends to be really different. And I don't know if we try to fit the team that we're playing against to try and match how they're playing, which is a bad thing to do sometimes.
Play your own game.
You should always stick to your own game. But we find ourselves, you know, sometimes chasing our tails and trying to catch up, particularly in the first quarter. But, you know, very strong lineups in Blues, so...
I'm not sure who to put my money on because I'm very aware that we're, you know, sat opposite one another.
Across the table. I think it's hard as well because Tomb Raiders have been really unfortunate once again with injuries and pregnancies. Mm.
They got a good win though recently. That was a big confidence boost.
They did.
They beat Thompson Travel One, didn't they?
Did. Yeah, they did. I think ultimately it will come down to who can keep their cool. Mm-hmm. So, you know, defence will be tight. You know, every time I've played against Tomb Raiders, granted I didn't last year, but every time I've played against them, the defence has always been really on.
Very good.
And not even just in the circle. You know, from like halfway down the court, right to circle edge, they are on you. And, you know, if you can keep your cool and have patience with that ball, you know, that pays dividends.
You're a big threat.
Yes.
And Ellie, who plays centre for Tomb Raiders, she's such a... I really rate her as a player. She's always so calm and she's just so easy to play with.
She
can play with anyone.
Yeah, she really, really, really is. And she's a really nice player to watch, actually. She's just so, like, cool.
Yeah, pretty player to watch.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to back my team. Obviously, I'm going to back my side. So, I'm going to put my money on the Blues. But I don't think it will be an easy win. I think they will have to work for it.
Yeah. I think you will take the win. But yeah. I am backing Tomb Raiders just a little bit. Friendship over. This next game between Manx Gems Rubies and Simcox Gold... we're reckoning could be the game of the day to watch in the Prem.
I think they are very equally matched teams, in my opinion. Now, we haven't played Golds yet, so there isn't like a result for us to say, oh, well, we beat them by this much, but we only beat the other team by this much, or they beat us or whatever. But I'm going off training and I'm going off playing Rubies and watching them play, and I do think that they are very kind of equally matched players because you've got... the Ruby side, who are full of, you know, the under 21 setup. So you've got Emma Leith, a solid centre. You've got Becca Cook and Holly Hennessy. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's loads in there. Yeah. Emmeline Batty as well. You know, super strong girls who are very versatile that I think lack a little bit of confidence. So, you know, when we played them, it was, you know, we'd gone into half time. We were only leading by about 10, and the heads were down. So, you know, confidence is a massive thing for them. They need to keep their heads up and keep going right till that final whistle.
Mm.
You know, but if you look at Golds, so whilst they've not got, you know, the young girls that are in the Ireland setup, they've got a lot of physically fit players. So Jen Callister,
yeah,
like she can run for days. She's just full of beans, yeah. Like, you know. So it's, I don't think it will come down to, oh, who's got the most in their legs, because I think both of them have a lot to give.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do think confidence is a massive thing for both sides. So, you know, who can keep their heads, mm-hmm. and actually team morale, you know, if you get behind your team, like it's like having an eighth player on the court,
absolutely.
You know, it really takes you towards the end. I'd love to see Golds come out with a win, but again, I do think that they'll really have to work for said win.
Who are you going to back?
Golds.
Okay. Just because I don't know this is going to be a coin toss game, I'm going to back Rubies then. But I do agree, I do think it's going to come down to... I think it's going to be a big mental battle because both sides are just so energetic. And also I think it's going to come down to positivity on court and who's going to keep backing their team even if they make mistakes.
Agreed.
And then finally we have Marbury Misfits A versus Ballasalla A. It's going to be a tough game, especially with Marbury missing players. Amber, unfortunately, is out for the rest of the season the injury brigade. But
take a ticket.
But I think it'll still be a good game to watch. And Becky Dunn has been playing a lot of goal defence recently, and I just absolutely love watching her play goal defence. I think she's fantastic there. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to watching that. And I haven't seen Ballasalla Alpha's new setup yet, so I think that'll be really cool to see as well.
Yeah, in my head, I see Misfits pulling away with a win. But it would be interesting to see, actually. You know, I mean, I didn't realise Becky was playing in defence either. Like, wow, shock.
She's playing everywhere this season at the moment, like moving around, mix and match. But yeah, it's
good.
Love that. I'm going to back Marbury.
I will as well, but I hope it's a close one.
I'm sure it will be, yeah. Moving on to Division 1, and we've got Tomb Raiders versus Thompson Travel 2. Castletown Spaniards will take on Simcots Green. Thompson Travel 3 versus Manx Gems Sapphires, and Marbury Misfits B, they take on Ballasalla Charlie. And then finally, Route 1 Turbos versus Young Farmers A. Now, because we're a bit tight on time today, we're going to pick out one match of the day to watch in Division 1 and 2, and we have starred Marbury Misfits B versus Ballasalla Charlie. These two are right next to each other in the league table, aren't they?
First and second. Joint points, 16 apiece.
This is going to be a big, big match. I'm actually going to go down early and watch this. And I know there's a couple of...
I'm playing at that time.
Oh, no. Well... I'll fill you in on all the goss.
Please do.
I know that there's a couple of jitters, a couple of nerves setting in already.
Really?
But I don't think in a bad way. I think they're just,
nerves,
you know...
Nerves can be a good thing.
Yeah.
Channel them. You have to channel them.
Exactly. Hone in on them. I haven't seen Ballasalla Charlie play, so I'm really struggling to comment on that side of things.
Well, I actually was going to say I haven't seen either team play. Mm-hmm. But based on the results that I have seen, they are clearly two very strong teams. I don't even know who I'd put my money on, to be honest.
I think Marbury Misfits B have surprised themselves over and over again this season. They're absolutely smashing it. And
so they're on a bit of a run, hey?
Yeah, and I've said it time and time again with Marbury, they just need to believe in themselves more. Like, it's a confidence thing with them because all the ability is there. They've got a fantastic scutch of players. They've got... And I'm always so impressed. I really enjoy watching them. They've got Sammy Bowden in centre. They've also got Becky Pate, who can play centre. Hannah Quinn, who can shoot and defend and play wing attack. Becky Dunn, if she's for them. You know, there's not a weak player on that team. They just need to believe it themselves.
I'm actually a liar. I watched Marbury Misfits play in their last game. I've just realised. When
Can't
you said those
you
names, I was like, wow. She's a liar. They are a very good team.
Yeah.
A very versatile team. The game that I watched, they had they'd completely mixed it up, and they had Becky Pate at centre and Sammy Bowden at wing attack, I think. That combination worked really nice for them as well.
Mm-hmm.
They are a very solid team. I don't think that they won that game, actually. I think... I can't remember, could be lying. But very like a very strong team.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, like you say, having versatile players really helps you, because when things aren't working, you can kind of slot people anywhere.
Exactly.
And you know that it's not going to massively impact
the
team, which is always really, really, really good to have. Having a team that's so reliant on seven people playing in the same one place is just ridiculous.
You're just putting yourself
just
in a corner. Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to watch that game. I'm sorry I can't comment more on the Ballasalla Charlie side of things. I haven't seen them play yet. But
you will this Sunday.
I will this Sunday. And I'm going to put my money on Marbury and Misfits to take the win.
Well, then I'll put my money on Ballasalla.
Okay, and in Division 2, we've got Simcox White versus Manx Gems Emeralds. That is a top versus bottom game. Manx Gems Emeralds are number one at the moment. And then we've got Route 1 Vaults versus Ballasalla Echo, Castletown Celts versus Ramsey Black, and Young Farmers 2 versus Simcox Silver. And looking at Castletown Celts versus Ramsey Black for this league, I reckon Castletown Celts sat in second, Ramsey Black in fourth.
That's right. Again, super close. And I think it was, oh no, it was Ramsey Red that I'd blown a massive trumpet for them, and I was like, they're going for the big win this weekend, and I think they did. But Ramsey Black are kind of just as solid as Ramsey Red are in that division. You know, they were placed top last season. They've been consistent again this season, which is always really nice. You don't kind of want to go through peaks and troughs. And Castletown Celts have kind of just, you know, just been completely consistent. I've watched a couple of their games, actually, and as a team, they're really good to get behind each other, which is really, really, really nice.
That's always so nice to see.
And in the game that I'd seen, they were behind at the start and actually came away with the win. So, you know, having... like spurring each other, like I say it all the time, but spurring each other on really makes all the difference. And if you believe in each other, suddenly a game becomes really easy, because you're not like picking at little things that people do. You play as a team. It would be nice to see Ramsey come away with a win, but I think my money's on Castletown.
Then I will go Ramsey Black. You can do it, Ramsey. Awesome. And with that, best of luck to everyone playing, and thank you very much, Jaylish Brideson.
Bye.
And that's all from this week's Saturday Sport Classified. I hope you enjoyed it, and if you were competing earlier today, well done. I take my hat off to you, and I do hope you have a nice cosy and warm and dry Saturday evening. Before I go, as I've mentioned before, if you know of a sport that you think is completely flying under our radar and not getting any coverage, please do get in touch. I'd love to hear from you. If you email newsroom@manxradio.com and address it to Rhiann, I will get it and I will be in touch with you. And with that, all that's left to say is thank you very much for your company. Always appreciate you tuning in and listening. And until I speak to you next time, I'll let the two Ronnies lead us out. Bye for now.
That's all we've got time for this evening, so it's good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.